Chapter 18. The Next Zenisi. Following our encounter with the Caddo in Osage, the story quickly made its way back to the Caddo elders, based on reports from the Kokonikis. Months later, I was able to piece together what must have transpired at Shachadaini, at that time the most important Caddo village, which was located on the lake they call Tesoto. Sawney now walks slowly through Shachadaini, weaving between the tall, beehive-shaped lodges in which his people lived. His old, wizened face had grown long with the sad news the two Kokonikis had just told him at the temple. He paused outside the largest beehive, which was surrounded by all the others. A brave standing at the entrance cast his eyes down as a sign of respect to Soninow and let him pass inside. The tribal elders sat cross-legged around a small fire, smoking and talking quietly. Soninow stood and waited to be acknowledged by the large Indian with long braids who was in conversation with an elder. When the man had finished speaking, he nodded to Soninow to be seated beside him. Another Indian passed Soninow the pipe, and he smoked. All were quiet, waiting for the news they knew Soninow had come to share with them.
"Tayatison and young Kianhun are dead," said Soninow.
Low moans filled the room. Diawit, the large Indian with long braids, who was chief of the Caddos, said,
"Tayatison, dead? How has it happened that our Zenisi is gone from us?"
"An Osage war party," said Soninow. "The High Priest and Kianhun and the Kokonikis were traveling as they do each year to Nadaka'a. As you know, there has never been trouble. This time, they were ambushed and murdered."
"Where?"
asked another brave.
"On the Three Notch Trail, across the Red River."
"Why would the Osage commit such a heresy as murdering our Zenisi?"
"The Saku teaches that man cannot know all the answers," said Soninow. "As the great chief Diawit knows," he quickly added, "there were four of them. Perhaps they were Waychutta's Washashi, roaming the Three Notch, looking for trouble. But it seems more likely they knew of Tayatison's journey and were looking for him. Would they know the boys were our Kokonikis? Perhaps, for they could have slashed their throats, but instead attempted to drown them, perhaps afraid to spill their sacred blood. Again, we do not know. The Kokonikis say one of the Osage was killed by Kianhun's arrow. Then Kianhun himself was killed. Tayatison was struck down by a bullet. Then two white men arrived. They killed the other three Osage and pulled the Kokonikis out of the river before they could drown."
"There were white men present?"
said Diawit, leaning toward Soninow.
"Yes. They came upon the attack, perhaps by accident. They saved our Kokonikis."
"Soninow, my friend, you know there are no accidents in life."
"Yes, my chief,"
Soninow replied, lowering his head. His long braids, resplendent with the beads and feathers of a Caddo medicine man, fell about his shoulders.
"You are now the Zenisi," said Diawit.
"Yes, my chief. The ceremony is complete."
"Then you will now sit at my side. It falls to you to lead our people in our ways."
"Yes, my chief."
Soninow bowed his head, thinking how he could never take Tayatison's place. He would never make the pilgrimage to Nadaka'a with a youthful Zenisi candidate such as Kianhun, nor with the Kokonikis. The path to Nadaka'a had died with Tayatison and was now lost forever to the lineage of Caddo Zenisi. Tayatison had taken that secret with him to his grave.
"And the Kokonikis?"
"They are now at the place of ceremony," said Soninow, "safely concealed. They have not been seen by any but the holy men."
The pipe had come around the circle again, and Soninow puffed for a time before continuing.
"They were courageous. They helped the white men bury Tayatison and Kianhun. Then the white men took them away on their horses. But in the darkness of night, the Kokonikis honored their vow to the Saku and escaped. They ran all night in the stream until they reached the Red River. They ran and ran for 2 days across the great raft to rejoin our people. They have eaten, and now they sleep."
"This is good," said Diawit. We mourn the great loss of our Zenisi, Tiatisan, and young Kianhun. But we are blessed to have our Kokoniki safely returned.
The chief reached out to Soninow, who handed him the pipe. He smoked for a long time, then spoke.
But the attack could mean we are in grave danger. We must know more. We must know who and why. Gado Hadacho,
said one of the elders, addressing Chief Diewit by his ancient title from across the fire.
It is possible this attack was Washashi braves acting without orders or thought of consequence. But as Soninow has said, it is more likely that it was on Wei Chutta's orders.
Yes, said Diewit. It would seem the Washashi were looking for Tiatisan at just that time and at that place to learn where he was going and what he intended to do.
The elder then spoke what they were all thinking.
It has been 4 moons since the Washashi attacked one of our hunting parties and took Tiatao. He died a terrible death. They sent him back to us mutilated as a message. Could he have told Washashi of Nadaka'a? Could Wei Chutta know of its secrets?
For a long time, Diewit looked at the elders seated around the fire. Then he said,
Leave us now. I must speak with the Zenisi.
The elders filed out of the lodge, leaving only Diewit and Soninow.
Is it possible the Osage have learned of the blessings bestowed by Nadaka'a? Said Diewit. Is it possible they were trying to find the source of Kadohadacho guns, ammunition, and supplies?
Soninow turned toward Diewit.
I don't see how it would be possible. Tiotau knew nothing of the blessings of Nadaka'a, but the Osage must suspect something. They know we are now well armed. They know we now have resources. Perhaps they somehow made a connection between Tiatisan's pilgrimages and our improved conditions.
How did Tiatisan go to meet the Saku? Asked Diewit.
The Kokoniki say he was wounded and lay on the ground for a time. The Kokonikis were taken away by one warrior to be tied up and drowned. But they saw 2 Osage warriors approach Tiatisan to take his scalp. It was at that time the white men began shooting and killed those 2.
Soninow, did the Kokoniki say anything more?
Said the chief.
Yes, Kado Hadacho. The young white man was carrying the Kokonikis out of the water when he was attacked by another Osage, who wounded him in the arm with his knife. The older white man shot him dead. All 4 Osage died.
Diewit nodded. My chief, there is something else, said Soninow with some trepidation in his voice.
According to the Kokonikis, when they and the white men went to Tiatisan, he grasped the young white man's wounded arm and thrust it into his own wound. There is only one possible explanation. Tiatisan wanted to give the young white man the gift.
Diewit's face became very grave. He narrowed his eyes as he looked at Soninow. He spat his words out, striking fear into his Zenisi.
Tiatisan gave the gift to a white man? This you are telling me? This is what the Kokoniki say?
Soninow nodded.
But why would he do this? Said Diewit. Could this white man be worthy? Can any white man be worthy? What would a white man do with the gift? Could Tiatisan have sensed something? So many questions.
Diewit shook his head in dismay and disbelief. He spoke again to Soninow.
I do not blame you for any of this, my brother. I am glad to know it, even though I know not what we can do about it. Perhaps nothing.
There may be a reason. Tiatisan would have known with his and Kianhun's death that the Kadohadacho would lose Nadaka'a forever, along with its blessings, unless there was some way to preserve the knowledge of its location.
But how could the gift do that? Said Diewit. The gift could not lead to Nadaka'a without some kind of...
Soninow interrupted. There is still one more thing you must know, my Kadohadacho. Diewit again raised his eyebrows over his tired eyes and pressed his lips tightly together. What could be worse than what he had just heard?
The Kokoniki say Tiatisan made markings with his own blood in the white man's good book.
Hours later, as the sun set, Diewit, Grand Cadi of the Caddo Confederacy stood looking out across the banks of Tesoto, the ancient lake of the Caddos, with the white man called Caddo Lake, was now home to over half of the Caddo tribe, where they lived in the village called Shachadaini, which means Timber Hill. Over the past 20 years, a number of Caddo villages from along the Red River had been forced by a combination of disease and Osage attacks to move here to consolidate the tribe's strength. Diowit was a strong leader and had successfully brought the different tribal cultures into the Caddo Confederation. Plumes of smoke rose from many of the clustered beehive lodges. His people were making their evening meals, safe from the warmongering Osage, at least for now. Their remaining culture had survived the Osage and the white man and his diseases. Diowit wondered what the future would bring his people. There was no question in his mind that the events surrounding Tiatisan's death would be bad medicine. The path to Nadaka'a was lost, and with it, the source of the tribe's improved mercantile situation over the past few years. What could the Osage know of Nadaka'a? And who were these white men? What were their intentions? What had Tiatisan marked in their good book? Surely not the way to Nadaka'a.